Morning, Oregon, and happy Friday. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoy the show today. Today we have the second and final part of a two-part presentation on Oregon's answer to Joe Exotic from Tiger King. Shut down in Oregon by the courts and wanted by the law in Oregon, Robert Fieber slipped away in the middle of the night with a truckload of lions and tigers and set up shop in a new location in Idaho. Surely that's the kind of story that ends super well, huh? Well, let's talk about how that all went down. By 1990, Fieber had remarried. And this time it seems he'd found a soulmate, someone as passionate about huge, dangerous apex predators as he was. Her name was Dottie Martin, and with her, he launched a new project. He was going to breed ligers. A liger is a hybrid cat, the offspring of a lion and a tigress, like a mule is the offspring of a horse and a donkey. Like mules, they are sterile. Unlike mules, they grow to about twice the size of either parent, topping out at or near the 1,000-pound mark. Half a ton of angry apex predator cat. All in a day's work, right? Fieber and Martin started their Idaho adventure in the Grangeville area, but one of their lions got out and started stalking a neighbor's horse. The neighbor shot it, and Fieber and Martin, apparently taking this as a sign that they needed to move further off the beaten path, moved on to Lava Hot Springs. They found a place just outside town that would work for them, a several-acre parcel along Fish Creek with a single-wide trailer on it and a few outbuildings suitable for livestock. The place was, by the way, a quarter mile from the local elementary school, a detail that would become important later, as you probably gathered from the introduction to part one yesterday. They purchased the property with an unrecorded land sales contract, meaning the sellers agreed to finance the sale and take monthly payments from Fieber and Martin, but would not record the arrangement with the county. Here's a tip for you real estate owners out there. Never do this with a buyer, especially if you are already carrying a mortgage on the property, which, yes, was the case here. That's why they wanted the land sales contract unrecorded, because it would have been due on sale according to the terms of their mortgage. Anyway, yeah, anytime somebody wants to not record with the county a real estate transaction, someone is trying to screw somebody. So, yeah, just thought I'd put that in there. Back to our story. Liger Town started out as 13 lions and one tiger. But, of course, the cats bred and reproduced, and soon there were lots more lions and several ligers. As the name of their zoo suggests, this was their goal, to breed a white liger. Soon the livestock outgrew the buildings that were available to house them. Using old pallets and scrap lumber and scavenged fencing panels and chicken wire, Fieber built an addition to house the overflow. Then another, and another. As his menagerie grew, the ramshackle warren of outbuildings grew as well. In Lava Hot Springs, Fieber was friendly and affable, but fiercely private. Nobody got invited to tour his facility, but most folks wouldn't have wanted to anyway. Within a year or two, the place looked like one of those Hoovervilles from the Great Depression, surrounded by a line of scavenged fencing of various types and quality levels. Here and there, the fence line was dotted with hand-painted signs expressing extreme libertarian and anti-authority sentiments. "Big game trophy hunt," one of them read. "Open season on corrupt officials, police, game wardens, and fire chiefs. Prizes awarded for the biggest liar, thief, scalawag, and jerk, the ugliest, meanest, and most brutal. Sponsored by Liger Town Citizens Against Public Harassment. 1-800-BAG-A-PIG. If the reference in that sign to fire chief sounds a little bit pointed, well, it was. More on that in a little bit. Another sign. "Liger, a sovereign alien nation governed by E.T. and his alien pride. Capital, Liger Town." I'm not sure if the sovereign reference means that this was a sovereign citizen thing. It may have been, but this was a long time ago. Sovereign citizen theory may not have yet been conceived at that time. Anyway, from the outside, over the years, residents of Lava Hot Springs nervously watched Fieber's ramshackle leonine Hooverville grow and expand, one load of pallets and chicken wire at a time. The roars were getting steadily louder, and the smell was getting worse and worse, a smell like long-neglected cat litter box topped with rotting meat. Everyone pretty much knew something was going to happen sooner or later. Then, near dusk on September 20th, 1995, something did. Lava Hot Springs Fire Chief Bruce Hansen, yes, the fire chief of the sign, was driving near his home when he saw a full-grown African lioness standing in the middle of the road. He raced back to town to the nearest telephone. It was 1995, so he didn't have a cell phone, and called 911. Then he grabbed his rifle, which apparently he had with him in the truck, and raced home to protect his livestock. When he got there, he found his mother-in-law, Lavenna Long, milking her goats. She had driven her car down to the goat pen and left the car door open, and there was a lion, a male this time, standing next to it. "Lavenna!" Hansen shouted, and the lion spooked and charged straight at him. So, of course, he shot it. Shortly thereafter, another call came into the 911 dispatch center from Robert Fieber. He needed help, quick. Sheriff's Deputy Lauren Nielsen, who had expected something like this to happen sooner or later, raced to the scene and found Fieber. He had tried to stop an escaping lion, which had slashed him up pretty badly. Fieber was taken to the hospital. It was late evening by now, and darkness had long since fallen. Since there were an unknown number of apex predators out there prowling the hills around town, and they were probably getting hungry, something had to be done, fast.
"We didn't want to kill these animals," Nielsen told Idaho Public Broadcasting, "but we had to protect the public. The biggest concern we had was school was starting in the morning. We had about 4 or 5 hours. It was in a populated area, but we didn't know how many had gotten out. We really didn't even know how many animals he had."
Police had a very busy, rather terrifying night that night. Helicopters were brought in and heat-sensitive scanners. By morning, 15 more escaped lions had been spotted and shot. Then they had to go into Liger Town itself to secure the scene. Fieber in the hospital was in no condition to help with that, even if they'd wanted him to, and Dottie Martin seems to have been away at the time. The place was worse than they had feared.
"The zoo, it turned out, was little more than a maze of chicken wire, random sheets of metal, and haphazard boards nailed together in ways that didn't make structural sense," writes Idaho Falls Post-Register reporter Sally Krutzig in a 2020 article about the events of that night. "Animal feces were piled 5 feet high in some places, and bones covered nearly every square foot."
Also, three of the lions that had escaped from their pens had climbed up onto the roof and were now watching the rescue operators as they moved through the compounds, calling to each other with low, guttural growls. They could not be lured down, so the visitors just had to keep an eye on them and hope they weren't hungry. Now that it was daytime and the situation was less terrifying, nobody wanted to kill any more of the lions. Police got out the tranquilizer gun they'd gotten from Idaho Fish and Game, but the darts they had were dosed for cougars, which are a third the weight of an African lion, so they had to be shot with multiple darts. Very soon, though, zoo specialists had arrived on the scene, and all 27 surviving lions, or rather, 27 of 28, at this time there still was the one lost in the woods that Wony Peters would shoot several days later, were all on semi-trucks and on their way to other facilities. A large collection of wolf-dog hybrids also had to be rehomed from Liger Town. After this disaster, of course, there was no suggestion of Fieber ever being allowed to do anything like this again. He and Dottie Martin tried to come back and take charge of the animals, but were told that if they appeared on the scene, they would be arrested and thrown in jail. Both of them were very bitter about the whole thing, enraged in newspaper articles about what was being done to them and their animals and how it was an unconstitutional government overreach, but in the wake of a security breach this big, and after seeing what conditions in Liger Town were like, literally no one in Lava Hot Springs was sympathetic to their complaints. Fieber and Martin were brought up on more than 100 misdemeanor charges of animal cruelty. That was the closest prosecutors could get to throwing the book at them. Apparently terrorizing the entire town and endangering its elementary school children at recess with wild beasts of prey were not, at the time, criminal offenses. Roughly a dozen of these charges actually stuck and resulted in convictions, but the two of them went full Bonnie and Clyde, skipping town and fleeing the state while the case was on appeal. Authorities decided not to bother with the trouble and expense of having them extradited back to the state to face a handful of misdemeanor charges, so they more or less got away clean. As for Liger Town, the animals were taken in by various more reputable zoos and refuges around the country, and the following year authorities bulldozed the whole ramshackle mess into a heap and set fire to it. Meanwhile, the owners of the property, who had sold it to Fieber and Martin on a land sales contract, which the two gitter-done zookeepers had stopped making their payments on long before, found themselves unable to keep up the mortgage underlying it, and the property was foreclosed by the bank. Today, unless you know exactly where to look, there is no remaining sign that Ligertown ever existed. But if you go into one of the nearby pubs and bars, chances are pretty good that you'll be offered the chance to buy a pint of beer brewed by the local craft brewery Portneuf Valley Brewing, which is called Ligertown Lager. That, and a heavily strengthened set of laws and regulations on exotic animals, are the only remaining legacy of Ligertown today. Sources in this story included: Oregon Coast had its own Tiger King in the 80s, an unbylined article published on April 24, 2020 in Oregon Coast Beach Connection. Also, Liger King, looking back at Idaho's version of the hit series, an article by Sally Kurtzig, published in the May 3, 2020 issue of the Idaho Falls Post-Register. Ligertown, an episode of Idaho Experience, aired February 16, 2023 by Idaho Public Broadcasting. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. And by the way, if you haven't yet, check out our Offbeat Oregon books. They're a lot like these columns, only expanded and updated to take advantage of a less restrictive format. We've got Heroes and Rascals of Old Oregon, Love, Sex, and Murder in Old Oregon, Bad Ideas and Horrible People in Old Oregon, and eventually the plan is for 8 of them to be out, although how many there are out right now depends on when you hear this. They're a lot of fun and would look great on your bookshelf. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do or to find the full citations and visuals that go with today's show. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Offbeat Oregon History episodes are uploaded every weekday morning at around 6 a.m., so it'll be a couple of days before you get your next fix. But of course, Monday morning will be here before we know it. And that's the latest news from here in Offbeat Oregon's Sulphur Springs studio. So now it's time for you and me both to go out there and fill up the rest of the day and the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.